You're listening to That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
Listeners write to us regularly with their language peeves, which we love. And sometimes they call them their pet peeves.
That's what they say. I'm Rebecca Kruth, and here now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Welcome, Anne.
Hello, Rebecca. I'm here to talk about peeves.
We've been talking about pet peeves for how many years now without actually talking about pet peeve, the word?
I can't believe it. The show has been on just over 13 years, and never have we talked about the expression pet peeve, even though listeners have been writing to us about their peeves, which again is great because it helps us find excellent topics for the show. But never have we talked about pet peeve. Rebecca, we're changing that today.
It's time. Let's do it.
This phrase, of course, is wonderfully alliterative, the pet peeve, and we will take its two parts, the pet and the peeve. So we'll start with pet, the noun. Rebecca, what's a pet?
A pet is my cute dog, Clara, who I love to talk about.
That's exactly right. So we've got pet as a noun back to the 1500s, first for a domestic animal raised by hand, and by the 1700s for an animal kept for pleasure or companionship. By the 1700s, we see pet also being used for a person who is indulged or spoiled or treated as a favorite. And Rebecca, I'll bet you can still do that. Just as I can.
Actually, I always tell people that I was my brother's pet growing up.
And of course, teacher's pet. Pet can also sometimes be used for a sweet or obliging person, maybe as a term of endearment. You can hear the skepticism in my voice because that would not go well for me.
No, I could say it sarcastically, though. Like I might say, patience, my pet.
All right, I might steal that. We then get pet as an adjective, first for animals, like my pet cat. And then by the 1800s, for something that is a favorite or cherished. So your pet story, or this is my pet theory. It's a theory that I really like. By the late 1800s, we then see this ironic use of pet with bad things. Rebecca, I was fascinated to see that some of the early examples are, this is my pet aversion.
Pet aversion. Wow. No, I don't think I've seen that.
We have never had a listener write in with their pet aversion.
I bet we will now.
We get pet peeves, and the Oxford English Dictionary has that back to 1919. So not that old. And that 1919 example is from a book of jargon. You also get examples of pet hates. Can you use that?
No, I still think of it as more of like a positive thing, like a pet cause or something like that.
Right. Although pet peeves, negative. And on the internet, I found lots of examples of pet hates. So now let's talk about the peeve part. And I recognize that this may make some people feel peevish because peeve comes from peevish. So the very first thing we have is the adjective peevish back to the 1400s. It had a range of meanings from perversely obstinate to spiteful to headstrong to irritable, or exhibiting petty bad temper. And I was fascinated that in the earliest examples in the 1400s, peevish was often used with fasting. And I thought, it's hangry.
Oh, it is hangry. You totally get peevish when you're fasting.
So first we get peevish, then we get the verb to peeve back formed from peevish. So that peeves me. And then that verb goes through a functional shift to become a noun in the early 20th century to refer either to an irritable mood, as in, I'm getting myself into a peeve, or it can mean something that causes you irritation, hence the pet peeves.
Well, Anne, I'm glad that we finally discussed pet peeve, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of our listeners' pet peeves as we continue the show.
I'm looking forward to hearing about their pet aversions.
Anne Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.